All right. Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to be here with you all. My name is Tim Greeno. I'm one of the pastors here at Walnut Creek. If you are new or visiting us this morning, I definitely want to say welcome to you. It is great to have you worshiping Christ here with us this morning. Happy Mother's Day to all of you moms. Important day. Hopefully you have a great day planned. We got a beautiful day for it. You students out there, I want you to say thank you to your mom. Your mom does probably far more for you than you could ever possibly realize. But I was thinking about it this morning too. I thought, this is just an idea I wanted to throw out there to you students. But what if today you just did what your mom asked you to do? Give it a shot, see what happens. I think it'll actually go pretty good. Maybe it'll start kind of a thing, okay? So, and then you husbands and dads out there, if you just realized now that it's Mother's Day when I said Happy Mother's Day, it's not too late to make a plan, okay? That's the first thing I'll say. Second thing, you might need to just slightly increase your budget. There is grace, it's just going to cost you, okay? But this morning, we are going to be back in Genesis 45, finishing up the chapter that we started last week. And I'm excited. This is, it has become one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It is just a beautiful text. And today, we're going to see the reconciliation of Joseph and his brothers. Okay, Joseph and his brothers will be reconciled. This is over 20 years in the making. The last that they saw each other and knew it was over 20 years ago when Joseph's brothers stripped him, threw him into a pit, sold him into slavery, and essentially left him for dead, okay? And now, like, so much has happened, and they've finally come back together when Joseph's brothers have come begging Joseph for food to save their lives, okay? Only they have not known that it's Joseph that they're dealing with until last week. We saw in our text, Joseph turned the lights on, okay, reveals himself to them. They come face to face with the one that they had so deeply offended and wronged. And now we're going to see Joseph giving them grace and those brothers receiving that grace, and that reconciliation is going to take place, okay? It's a beautiful thing. We're going to start our morning reading through our text. And as we do that, I want you to pay attention to the gospel in our passage, okay? And so much of how we're going to see the gospel in our text in Genesis 45 this morning is by seeing it play out at the human level between Joseph and his brothers. So I want you to pay attention to that, but then realize along the way, it's like a mirror image of the way that the gospel plays out on a heavenly level between us and the Lord Jesus, between us and God, okay? And I was thinking about it this week. Genesis 45, it's like when you go to Costco and you get samples at the grocery store, and you're like, that is good. That is really good. And the sample lady looks at you and she's like, if you think that's good, you should have the whole thing. That's like what we're getting into today, okay? It's just like between Joseph and his brothers, it's like a little taste of the glory of the gospel at that human level. And I want you to, as we're working through it, be aware of and be thinking about the ways that this reflects at a heavenly level what we have in Christ, okay? So here we go. I'm going to read just the first 15 verses of Genesis 45 to get us started. We're going to read the back half later as we work through it together, okay? But I want to get these first 15 verses for us, get our minds going, pay attention, see the gospel playing out in the text, okay? Joseph could no longer keep his composure in front of all of his attendants, so he called out, "Send everyone away from me." And no one was with him when he revealed his identity to his brothers. But he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and also Pharaoh's household heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But they could not answer him because they were terrified in his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near me." And they came near. "I am Joseph, your brother," he said, "the one that you sold into slavery in Egypt. But now don't be grieved or angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there will be 5 more years without plowing or harvesting. And God sent me ahead of you to establish you as a remnant within the land and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Therefore, it wasn't you who sent me here, but it was God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. So return quickly to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all of Egypt. Come down to me without delay. You can settle in the land of Goshen and be near me, you, your children, your grandchildren, your flocks, your herds, all that you have. And there I will sustain you. For there will be 5 more years of famine. Otherwise, you and your household and everything you have would become destitute. Look, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin can see. I'm the one speaking to you. Tell my father about all of my glory in Egypt and about all that you have seen, and bring my father here quickly.' And then Joseph threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin wept on his shoulder. And Joseph kissed each of his brothers as he wept. And afterwards, his brothers talked with him." Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the richness of your grace, God, that comes to us in Christ. We thank you, God, that your word displays it so beautifully this morning, God, as we look at Genesis 45. We thank you, Lord, even just that what we see in Joseph is just a taste of what we have in Christ. God, it's just a foretaste of it, God. And I pray this morning, we would just be so encouraged and thankful. God, I pray that, Lord, our hearts would just be filled up with the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, the life that we have in Jesus. I pray this morning also for those who are mothers here, God. We pray that they would be just encouraged today, God, in the role that you've given them, God. I pray that they would be encouraged to continue to love their kids, pray for their kids, serve their kids, God. We pray that they would know that they are loved and cared for, God, and that we are thankful for the sacrifices they make, though we cannot possibly know or see all of those sacrifices, God. You do see it, and you are honored by that, God, glorified through it, and you will, God, reward them for that, God. We pray for those who maybe desire motherhood but have been unable. God, we pray for those who have lost a child today, God. We pray that they would be comforted by our wonderful Heavenly Father, God. We pray that this would be a day where, even in the midst of hurts, God, we can rejoice in you and find comfort and great joy, God, in you. And we pray, Lord, that, God, as we sing, as we fellowship, as we take the Lord's Supper, God, today we pray that you would be exalted in our hearts, and we pray all of it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So here's a question I found myself thinking about this week. What's the hardest thing you've ever had to forgive? Now, I know that is not a light question. It might even be hard to think about, but I do want you to think about it. Take some time to reflect. What is the hardest thing that you have ever had to forgive? Who was it? What was it? When was it? Do you know immediately? I do. And look, if you are married, I would not be surprised at all if it has to do with your spouse. That is normal. Or maybe it's something with your parents. Because often the closer the relationship, the deeper the wounds that we give each other. And the harder it is to genuinely forgive. But what is the hardest thing you have ever had to forgive? Now, if you have not actually fully forgiven, and there's still a little bitter root in there, or if that forgiveness has never really been received in humble repentance, if reconciliation has not come, thinking about that situation, it might still, no matter how long it has been, thinking about it might still bring back fear, anxiety, anger. And I do want to tell you, God is our great comforter. He will bring comfort and healing as we seek him in that. But if you have deeply, genuinely forgiven, and if that forgiveness has been received in humble repentance, which I hope many of you have actually experienced, here's the wild thing about reconciliation, okay? When you have genuinely forgiven and it has been received in real humble repentance, I would guess that there's almost nothing in your relationship with that person that has brought as much strength to that bond as the giving of real forgiveness and the receiving of it in humble repentance. Because, as surprising as it might be, our greatest wounds often become our strongest bonds when forgiveness is given and received in humble repentance. Think about that. Almost nothing will bring you closer to another human being than when we walk in real, full, deep, authentic grace that's received in humility. I love my wife more because she has hurt me, I have forgiven her, and she has received it humbly, not in spite of that. Our wounds have strengthened our bond because of grace. That's the power of grace. Do you know that grace? And I would tell you, apart from the Lord, I don't think that grace actually exists. I don't think it does. Just speaking for myself, I do not think that I genuinely forgave deeply from the heart anyone before I became a Christian at 20 years old. And I don't think that I really could have. I had a lot of strategies for dealing with people when they wronged me. Anger, bitterness, minimizing it, trying to pretend it didn't hurt me that badly, shoving it in a corner, getting them back. Real, genuine, deep, full forgiveness was not on my bingo card as a non-Christian. But in the Lord, isn't it amazing that in a world that's so full of deep wounds, it's actually possible to be completely and beautifully reconciled, even brought closer together than ever with people through real, authentic grace, even though they have hurt us so deeply. That is the kind of grace that is bringing Joseph and his brothers towards reconciliation in Genesis 45. Okay, now just to give you an outline, last week we started to look at this reconciliation coming between Joseph and his brothers when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, turned the lights on for them, and they received sight, and they were able to start to deal with Joseph eye to eye, okay? And we talked about how important and essential that was, but now that sight is gonna be followed up with grace. Joseph is gonna give his brothers real grace, which they absolutely need if they're going to be reconciled. And then what we'll see is Joseph giving them orders, and the brothers, they're gonna receive orders from Joseph. And even that, too, will be a part of the grace that they receive from him, okay? And this is what we're going to see as we see this reconciliation between Joseph and his brothers unfold. Today, we'll cover the brothers receiving grace and the brothers receiving orders. And again, I want you to keep in mind the whole time, okay? This is a taste at the human level of what we have at the heavenly level through Christ with God. And we're going to begin this morning by seeing the brothers receive grace. Joseph's brothers receive grace, okay? And the grace that they receive, it is so real, so rich, so authentic. There's so many layers to this grace, and we're going to walk through the text slowly and just watch these layers of grace unfolding in the text. We'll take it as it comes to us in the text. And where it begins is with Joseph giving nearness to his brothers. Joseph gives nearness. He calls them to come close to him, okay? He opens their eyes and reveals himself to them. He's like, hey, it's me, Joseph, your brother. And then he calls them close. He says, come here. Come to me, okay? And I teased this for us last week, but I just want us to keep in mind as we just briefly revisit this, what Joseph's brothers did to Joseph was absolutely awful. Awful. I hope none of you have experienced anything even close to this. The last time they saw each other, they stripped him naked, threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery, and left him to die as a 17-year-old kid in a land hundreds of miles from anyone he had ever known or loved, okay? That's what they did to him. It's the last they saw him till right now, okay? Verse 3, Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But they couldn't answer him because they were terrified in his presence. And then Joseph said to his brothers, first words out of his mouth, please come here. Come near me. And they came near. I am Joseph, your brother, he said, the one that you sold into Egypt. What a vulnerable place for grace to begin. You got to come near the one that you've offended. Eye to eye. You got to deal with them. Man, we could say a lot about this. Text messaging is not the best way to produce real reconciliation. And we're not going to rehash this too much because we did get into it last week, but if they don't know that Joseph actually has grace for them, you better believe there's no chance that they are coming anywhere near Joseph when he calls them near, okay? Not in a million years. And this is such a big deal. This is so important. First words out of his mouth, come here. They've got to believe that there's mercy from the one that they have deeply offended and wronged, or they're not coming anywhere near him. But that's where grace begins. It is a vulnerable place. Come eye to eye. Come and stand before and deal with the one that you have offended. And I did just want to circle back really quickly. Remember last week, I gave you a challenge. If you are maybe struggling to believe in Christ, struggling to receive his grace, have maybe struggled to believe in him, take Jesus up on his word in John 14, okay? This was the challenge I gave you. This is the word of Jesus. He says, whoever has my commands and keeps them, that's the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal himself to me. If you've been having a hard time just seeing and believing Christ, receiving grace from him, hey, take him up on this challenge, okay? Take him at his word and see if he will reveal himself to you. You know, the first command that I think we need to obey, the first command of Christ we need to hang on to and keep if we're going to know him and receive his grace? Matthew 11, this is what Jesus says. Here's his commands. Here's why I wanted you to dig in the word and find his commands. These are the commands of Christ. Come to me. Come here. Come close. All who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. It's where Joseph starts. It's where grace begins. A vulnerable place for grace to begin. He says, come to me, come near. And again, if they don't know that he's got grace, there's no chance they obey that call. No chance. And here's the crazy thing, okay? Look at verse 4. I want you to notice, like, the first sentence out of Joseph's mouth. Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. And they came near. I am Joseph, your brother, he said, the one you sold into Egypt. Now, does that sound like grace to us? Does that sound like mercy? He's calling out their sin? It should. That should sound like grace to us, because grace doesn't hide the truth about sin. In fact, you can't have grace without truth about sin. You can't have it. Without truth about sin, there's nothing to apply grace to. You don't know anything about grace without truth. Remember John 1 that we looked at last week? John 1:14, the word, Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory. The glory is the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You can't have grace without truth about sin. And this is a huge part of the grace that Joseph gives his brothers. Joseph gives truth. Joseph gives truth. And here's a wild thing to think about. I think before this moment, the brothers have never been called to account for the sin that they committed against Joseph, not by another human being. I think before this moment, the brothers, yes, they knew what they did. They even had a tormented conscience about it. We saw that in chapter 44. But I don't think that anyone outside of the brothers had ever brought their sin to light and just called a spade a spade. This is what you have done. And look, this is what we need to grasp. You can't have grace without truth. Not real grace. And I would say one of the greatest struggles in our culture is that we get this dead wrong. Absolutely dead wrong. We have confused grace. We've absolutely neutered grace. We have destroyed grace because we have minimized and relativized truth. We have believed that calling sin what it is, calling it sin, like that's the opposite of grace. We have believed that affirmation and acceptance is grace and love, and it is not. Students, one of the greatest struggles for your generation, I believe, is going to be this issue right here. It's knowing how to walk in grace and truth. Real grace always, always deals with and speaks in truth. Yes, in love, of course. But if you don't have truth, you don't have grace. And I think what's happened in our culture is that we hate truth, and we call truth hate. And by doing that, we have eliminated truth. We've set it aside. And the issue there is when you do that, you actually eliminate real grace. And so in reality, our culture knows nothing of grace. Many people will spend years and years and years of their lives knowing nothing of the beauty of grace because truth is hard and we threw it away. And I just want to point out, when you do that, like, it is no wonder. It is no wonder to me why we live in a depressed, anxious, insecure generation. Because when you don't know grace, oh, what a precarious spot to find yourself in. What an anxious and insecure place to live. And see, we're like trying to fix that with affirmation, not with grace and truth. Joseph calls out his brothers with truth. This is what you did. This is what you did. You sold me as a slave into Egypt. Why does he do that? So they can actually have real, authentic, genuine, full grace. Can't have it without truth. He does it so that he can give them forgiveness, okay? Which is what he gives next. Joseph gives forgiveness. And I want us to see the way that Joseph gives his brothers forgiveness, because I think this is beautiful. This might be my favorite part of this text. The way that Joseph gives his brothers forgiveness, it is a beautiful thing, okay? Remember, Joseph, he just called out their sin. He just laid out the truth now, Genesis 45, verse 5. And now he says, but don't be grieved or angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there will be 5 more years without plowing or harvesting. But God sent me ahead of you to establish you as a remnant within the land and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. I love that. What beautiful forgiveness, okay? Now, you parents out there, I'm going to be honest, I think this text might make us just a little bit squeamish because, okay, have Joseph's brothers actually even apologized for what they did to Joseph? And I say this as a stickler. I'm like, you use the words. But have they actually apologized to Joseph for what they did? Well, not with their words. Okay, They haven't said, I'm sorry. But what did they do? Okay, I want us to pay attention to what the brothers have done. Number one, they admitted their guilt in Joseph's presence. They didn't know they were in his presence. But back in chapter 45, they're like, we're dead. We're guilty. God is punishing us. We know what we've done. He knows what we've done. Joseph hears that. He knows that they know and have admitted their guilt. I would also say that they have shown or demonstrated their repentance. Okay, remember, Joseph tested his brothers to see what was in them. And what did he find? He found that they have, in fact, changed. Okay, Benjamin was Joseph 2.0. And Joseph used Benjamin as a litmus test to see, have they actually repented and changed? And they had. Judah offers his life for Benjamin's. Okay, instead of just throwing him to die. And so, no, they didn't use the words, I'm sorry, but they have admitted guilt. They've shown their repentance. And now Joseph, okay, parents, again, I'm sorry, but has Joseph actually forgiven his brothers? Like, has he used the words? No. But what has he done? And again, I'm a stickler. Use the words. I forgive you. But Joseph, he doesn't. But what has he done? He has spoken towards them and he has acted towards them as one who clearly and very genuinely, deeply forgives them. He calls them close. Not to kill them, but to actually comfort them. He speaks truth, but in love to offer grace. Don't be grieved or angry with yourselves. I'm not angry with you. And here's the secret sauce, I think, of Joseph's forgiveness. It's what he says next in verse 5, okay? Look at verse 5. And now, don't be grieved or angry with yourselves for selling me here. Because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. That's the secret to Joseph's forgiveness of his brothers. You know what he was able to do? And this is what we need to be able to do if we're going to deeply, genuinely, fully forgive others. Joseph was able to see God's good hand in the wounds that they gave him. He could see it. You did me harm. God was at work in it for my good and for your good and for his glory. This is why I don't think real grace exists apart from God. Apart from God, the wounds that people give us, they do take something away from us that we can never get back. Do you know that? Apart from God, this is why I could not forgive anyone deeply, truly, genuinely, as a non-Christian. Because apart from God, the wounds that people give us, they actually take something from us that we can never get back. Joseph lost so much. He lost so much when his brothers sinned against him and stripped him and threw him into a pit and sold him into slavery and left him for dead. I asked you earlier, think about the hardest thing you've ever had to forgive. You lost so much when that person sinned against you. But through those very same wounds, God is at work giving us back so much more. See, through the wounds of Joseph from his brothers, they took so much from him. But through those wounds, God was giving so much more. So much grace, so much love, so much comfort, so much tenderness. Even beyond Joseph, God was giving life through their wounds. And see, God was giving to Joseph what Joseph is now able to give to his brothers. That's it. Again, without the Lord, I don't think we have the ability to give real, deep, authentic grace. Because without him, wounds are just wounds. It's just loss. And this is where the bitter root comes from when we can't genuinely forgive, okay? This is where the bitterness comes from. It's when we see what others have taken from us, but we don't see the good hand of God who's there in it with us, who is still faithful, who is still at work for our good, for his glory, even in those most painful moments when we have been sinned against. And if we don't have that, if we don't have confidence in that, if we don't know that, if we can't see that, we have no grace to give. We have nothing to give. Joseph, he's just giving from the overflow of what God has given him. He's giving it back to his brothers. If we don't have that, at best, all we can give is cheap grace, pretend grace, pretending that it didn't hurt as bad as it did. But even when Joseph was stripped and thrown in a pit and sold into slavery, treated like worthless garbage, he saw, God, you were there with me, and you were at work for my good. This is reality. This is a reality that we need to fight, to cling to. We will be hurt in this life. We will. We will give each other deep wounds. But we need to be reminded. You can't take anything from me that God will not restore and give back through Christ. That's the secret. Joseph says, you planned evil. Oh, but God is at work for good. He planned it for good. And his goodness overcomes evil. The dark will not overcome the light. This is why Joseph, he's just so genuinely kind and good to his brothers. This is why his forgiveness is so deep and real. He could see God's good hand in the wounds that they gave him. And we don't always get to see with like such specificity the way that Joseph did, exactly how God's goodness is at work through those wounds. But we need to know and have confidence that God is at work with specificity for good, for our good and his glory, even through the wounds that we receive in this life. Joseph could see it. And because he could see it, he was ready. He was ready to genuinely forgive. So ready to genuinely forgive his brothers. And he did, okay? And just as importantly, his brothers were humble and repentant and ready to receive it. And that makes reconciliation possible. It's always a two-way street. They'd been humbled by God. They knew they were guilty. They were walking in repentance. And because of that, it allows Joseph to give his brothers real intimacy and affection. And for that reconciliation to be consummated. Verse 14. Joseph gives his brothers intimacy and affection, okay? Verse 14, then Joseph threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin wept on his shoulder, and Joseph kissed each of his brothers as he wept. And afterward, his brothers talked with him. He just showers them with kisses. It is real, deep grace. It is as authentic and real as it gets. Showering them with affection, weeping together, talking together. And I want you to remember, over 20 years ago, God gave Joseph a dream, right? Okay, this dream, his brothers come, they bow down to Joseph. Joseph had no idea at the time that that was a dream of this beautiful reconciliation, this beautiful family reunion. At the time, Joseph was living with his whole family, with all of his brothers, okay? He was his dad's favorite, and he was his brother's absolute least favorite. They despised him so much. Here's the condition of their relationship. They strip him naked and throw him in a pit and sell him into slavery and leave him to die, never to see him again. And now I want you to see here in Genesis 45, look at the incredible intimacy, closeness, affection that they have for one another. Do you see that? The strength of that bond, the depth of that love, it is stunning. And I would argue that is an intimacy that they would never have without real grace. Without those wounds, that forgiveness, that repentance, and that sweet reconciliation, I think that's an intimacy they would know nothing about. Remember what we said at the beginning? Our greatest wounds become our strongest bonds when forgiveness is given and received in humble repentance. Now you gotta realize though, if you do cheap grace, if you do that cheap grace where it's like we pretend it didn't hurt us as bad as it did, or you do that cheap grace where we don't bring truth, or you do that cheap grace where we don't deal eye to eye, or you do that cheap grace where really the fire still burns hot on the inside, but I just pretend on the outside everything's okay between us. If you do that cheap grace, it will weaken the bonds that you have so much. And this is why a lot of marriages struggle, because they're not walking in real deep grace. But when you walk in real, authentic, deep grace, the strength of the bonds that we have, that is the power of grace. I do feel a little bit like Paul here. Like, what should we say then? Should we go on sinning against each other that grace may abound? No, okay, absolutely not. We don't have to try to sin against each other. It comes naturally to us, okay? Plenty of ops. In fact, you need to try very hard not to sin against one another. But as long as we're in this life, as long as we're in this bag of bones that we are, we will sin against each other. And when we do, walk in real grace. This is the power of grace. Incredible intimacy. Do you know grace like that? Do you know grace like that with God? Do you know intimacy like that with God through Christ? What amazing, real, deep, authentic grace we have in Jesus. Like, oh, the genuineness of his forgiveness towards us. It is amazing. It's not fake. It's not cheap. It's not just sweeping our sin under the rug. It's not just lying to us about our sin. It's not just brushing it aside. It's not just pretending the wounds are not real or deep. Oh, it's real grace. It's real forgiveness. Do you know that kind of grace and intimacy with God through Christ? It's available. We receive it through humble repentance. You can have real intimacy with God. Do you know grace like that in your marriage? Oh, the intimacy that we can have with other human beings through real grace. Do you know grace like that with your roommate? Do you know grace like that with your kids? Do you know grace like that with your parents? Do you know grace like that with your fellow believers in Christ, in the church? That's world-changing grace. That's a grace that doesn't exist apart from the Lord. But in the Lord, it does. And it has all been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus, okay? When we walk in grace, when we give real grace, when we receive real grace, all that we are doing, we're just acting as conduits of the grace that's already been purchased by the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Real human grace always, always, always is rooted in the real heavenly grace that we have through Christ. Real human grace, it's always rooted in the real heavenly grace that we have through Christ. In fact, real human grace, it's always going to draw us up deeper into the real heavenly grace that we have in Christ, whether you are the one giving it or receiving it. I mean, that's part of the beauty of grace. And there's one last layer to this grace that the brothers receive through Joseph in our passage. It's that the brothers receive orders. Okay, one last little layer of this grace that they receive from Joseph. The brothers receive orders. Okay, now I'm not saying that in the context of every relationship, this is going to be an aspect of the grace that we receive or give, but it certainly is in our relationship with God. Okay, this certainly is a part of the grace that we receive from God. It's the fact that we receive orders. Okay. And so it is with Joseph and his brothers. And the orders they receive, they're back in verse 9. In the middle of their reconciliation, Joseph says this. Verse 9, return quickly to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me without delay. You can settle in the land of Goshen and be near me. You, your children, and your grandchildren, your flocks, your herds, all that you have. There I will sustain you. For there will be 5 more years of famine. And if you don't obey my orders, otherwise, you and your household and everything you have will become destitute. If you don't come to me, you will die, all of you. Look, your eyes and the eyes of your brother, my brother Benjamin, can see. I'm the one speaking to you. Tell my father about my glory in Egypt and about all that you have seen, and bring my father here quickly. The brothers receive a mission from Joseph to expand this reconciliation to a full-blown family reunion, okay? He's like, look, I don't want to just reconcile with you guys. I want the whole family here. Call them here. Call them. Come see the glory of Joseph. See the glory of God and what he's done, and be reconciled. Be reunited. And I wish that we had another hour to press into this. We do not, okay? But this is such an important part of us walking in the grace of God. We got to understand the orders that God has given us, the mission that he's given us. It is a part of his grace. It's a part of how we walk in his grace. We receive his orders, okay? We receive his mission to call others in, to see the glory of God, and to be reconciled to him. And our willingness to receive God's orders and walk in his mission, it is absolutely a part of the way that we walk in his grace. And it fits hand in hand, I would say, even with our willingness to receive his grace. I don't think we can grasp God's grace apart from receiving his mission. So go ahead and just be chewing on that this week. But Joseph gives his brothers orders, and they receive those orders, and they're sent out to go get their dad. And here's how our chapter concludes, okay? Verse 16, Genesis 45, verse 16, I'm going to read through the end of it. It says this: when the news reached Pharaoh's palace, Joseph's brothers have come. Pharaoh and his servants were pleased, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers, do this, load your animals, go back to the land of Canaan, and get your father and your families, and come back to me, and I'll give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you can eat from the richness of the land. You are also commanded to tell them, do this, take wagons from the land of Egypt for your dependents and your wives, and bring your father here. Do not be concerned about all of your belongings, for the best of all the land of Egypt, it's yours. The sons of Israel did this, and Joseph gave them wagons as Pharaoh had commanded. He gave them provisions for the journey. He gave each of his brothers changes of clothing, okay? He gives them new clothes. He gave Benjamin 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of clothing. And he sent his father the following: 10 donkeys carrying the best products of Egypt and 10 female donkeys carrying grain, food, and provisions for his father on the journey. So Joseph sent his brothers on their way, and as they were leaving, he gave them one piece of instruction. Don't argue on the way. So they went up from Egypt, and they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, and they said, Joseph is still alive, and he is ruler over all the land of Egypt. Jacob was stunned, for he did not believe them. But when they told Jacob all that Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to transport him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And then Israel said, enough, my son Joseph is still alive, and I will go to see him before I die. And that reunion between Joseph and Jacob, it's coming. It's what we're going to look at next week in Genesis 46 and into 47, okay? Just to close this morning, I want to give you one point of application. One point of application as you head out the doors. Maybe as we've been working through our text this morning, you realize there's a relationship in your life that needs reconciling. Maybe it's with the Lord. Maybe it's with a spouse. Maybe it's with a roommate, a friend, a son, a daughter, a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister. I know that reconciliation is a two-way street, but I want to encourage you today, as far as it depends on you, take something from our text and put it into practice in that relationship. Take something from our text and put it into practice in that relationship. And maybe you've been in the role of the brothers, the one doing the hurting. Maybe you've been in the role of Joseph, needing to extend forgiveness. Maybe it's a little bit of both. Often it is. Maybe you need to ready your heart for forgiveness. Maybe you need to humble yourself and repent. Whatever it is, take something from the text. Put it into practice even this week and see what God does through it, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for your grace towards us. We thank you, Lord, that we are recipients first and foremost, above anything else, God, we are recipients of your grace towards us. We have deeply offended you, yet you have given us real, deep, authentic grace in Christ. What a beautiful gift. God, I thank you that it's rich, that it's perfect, and that every layer of your grace, God, it's good, and it's good for us. God, it is good news for us. I pray this morning, God, that every single one of us, God, would grow deeper in our relationship with you through your grace, and every one of us, God, would be moving towards deeper relationships with others in our lives, God, through real, authentic grace. God. God, help us to take a step this week towards that end. God, in whatever relationship we might need to, God, help us just to take a step, God, in the pursuit of real, genuine grace, God, and trust you with the results, God. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to just continue to worship the Lord by his grace through